puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Ah, yes, that music ushers in the part of the show where the ratings go through the roof. Gordon Goldsborough is here with another nugget of history. Good morning.
Good morning, Lori.
Well, of course, I was listening last week, and let's see, your hint was something about a cattle pasture with old tractor tires.
Yeah, well, one of our listeners alerted me to the fact that if you drive along Highway 16, the Yellowhead Highway, a few miles east of Gladstone, what you'll see on the side of the highway is a cattle pasture, and it's littered with numerous automobile and tractor tires. In fact, some of them seem to be sort of embedded partway in the ground in kind of neat rows, and he was speculating on what that could be, and that, of course, intrigued me.
Sort of like Stonehenge, really.
Rubberhenge.
Rubberhenge. Is that what it is? Like some cult?
Well, I suppose in some way you could describe it like that, a cult of race car drivers, because that's in fact what it turned out to be. It's a little research, it turned out it was a stock car racing track.
Stock car racing. Now, remind me, I'm not quite sure of what stock car is compared to non-stock car.
Well, this was something I had to do a little research about, too. This isn't something that's in my direct area of expertise at all. Stock car racing in its original manifestation. Today, people may think of things like NASCAR. And, of course, that's very popular in the United States. And it stands for, the word NASCAR stands for the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing. Stock car meant a car that was essentially unmodified from its original factory configuration. So the idea would be you'd just take any old car, you know, the one you borrowed from granny, and you'd head out and you'd race with it. And that was the original concept of stock car racing. Gradually over time, I'm told, it changed. And so later it became, well, you had to have a production-based automobile to race, but you could tweak it. I guess you could make the engine more powerful, perhaps.
So in the Gladstone area where the Rubberhenge is, what does that actually look like and what would they be doing?
Well, okay, so you don't see a lot from the highway itself. You see some of these rubber tires. You see maybe some kind of evidence of something there. But if you go up in the air, and of course you probably remember that I have a drone, I sent that up in the air. And what you see then is this very distinct oval. And from end to end, it's about a fifth of a mile. And if you follow it along its track, it's exactly 1/2 mile. And of course, the idea then is that by each revolution of the track, you could chalk up in miles. So if you had a 10-mile race, well, that would be 20 times around the track. So there's how you could have races of various lengths.
And when is all this happening exactly?
I would anticipate typically during the summer. Most of the references I found to it when I was doing the research, it referred to races that would be held in like June, July, August, sometimes into the early fall. But of course, once it gets cold weather, because it was a spectator sport, so I don't think much happened in the colder months of the year.
But in what, the 60s?
Well, in this particular case anyway, it started now in 1966. There were some references I found going back to the 1950s. So, for example, some listeners who've been listening a long time will recall way back when we talked about some of the old Air Force bases that had been built during the Second World War. And some of those, actually, after the war was over, weren't used for anything and so were used for racetracks. Because they were concrete runways and it was a perfect place to race your car. There was no traffic to worry about. And so, for example, at McDonald, northwest of Porter's La Prairie, there was one of those racetracks. Near a place called Paulson, east of Dauphin, there was one. At Souris. These were all former Air Force bases that had been decommissioned. So this had been the 50s. But this particular one, the one at Gladstone, started, as far as I can tell, in 1966. There had been a group at Gladstone that was interested in stock car racing, and apparently they had been racing at the Gladstone Fairgrounds. Now, I don't know why they moved, maybe just because people were getting a little uptight about the noise. I don't know. But they moved out of Gladstone itself, and they moved down the road to this site where we see the racetrack today. And they raced there, well, that's the interesting part of the story, I think. I've heard references to them closing as a result of an accident that had happened at the track. And that intrigued me because I thought, well, you know, what could have happened that would have caused the track to close? It must have been a horrific accident. And I did some research and found out, yes, in fact, there had been a terrible accident at the track that happened in 1968, just 2 years after the track was established. There was a 23-year-old schoolteacher from Gladstone who was racing on the track, and his car went out of control and slammed into a barricade made out of sort of heavy wooden poles, and he was killed. But I've heard people say, well, that was the accident that precipitated the closure, but it turns out, no. What I found, what little evidence I can find, says that it actually continued until 1983, so quite a bit after that accident took place.
Maybe it was high oil prices. But I was going to ask you, actually, you said this was a 23-year-old school teacher. So who was doing this? Was this an academic pursuit, or like who was racing the stock
cars?
Well,
it certainly wasn't an occupation. It wasn't somebody that would make their living doing this. In fact, most of the races I would see advertised in the newspaper would advertise prizes like $50.
Woo.
I mean, that today won't even put a tank of gas in your car. So, you know, of course, that means that it would probably simply be a pastime for people that were just passionate about cars. And I think that's the case. These guys at Gladstone, they did other things. They were perhaps farmers or whatever, and they just were excited about car racing, and they just did it for a hobby.
You say these guys, strictly male?
Well, you'd think so, wouldn't you? I mean, it sort of seems like a very macho, masculine thing to do. But actually, again, looking at some of these advertisements, I came across quite a few references to what they called powder puff racing. And turns out those were ones where the drivers were female. So,
and it drove pink cars.
Well, I don't know. I know, to this day, I have not yet found any historical photos of this place. So I can't tell you, but it certainly, I guess, would be a possibility.
Well, I wonder if you say it was in the 60s right to the 80s, somebody might have some photographs. And if you do, I bet Gordon would like to see them.
I would indeed. In fact, there's a lot I don't know about this particular site. And if you do know anything about it, I would love to hear from you. As in the past, you can always get a hold of me by calling my phone, which is 204-474-7469. And you can leave me a detailed message there. I'd love to know more if you can tell me something about this particular track.
So, Gordon, it's in the field somewhere. I'm amazed you can even still see the track.
Well, that's the interesting part, because a lot of these tracks, after they stopped being used, were turned back to whatever they could have been using the land for before. So a lot of them, for instance, reverted to farmland. Those tracks that I mentioned before at McDonald, at Paulson, at Souris, by and large, they're farmland now, and you can see very little evidence that they had ever been there. But in this case, it's easily visible, even though it's been over 30 years since that track went out of existence. So there's the interesting thing. And I think there's a clue as to why it's still there in its name. It was called the Salt Plains Raceway. Salt Plains, I think, is important because in this area of Manitoba, there's actually quite a lot of places where you get salt springs, where salty water comes out of the ground. And of course, what that would do, it would cause very few plants to want to grow. Plants don't typically like a lot of salt. Mm-hmm. And even today, when you walk around there, you'll notice that there isn't a lot of vegetation. There's a few things that are quite tolerant of salt, things like cattails, but there's not a lot of other things. And so I suspect the reason why they established that track there in the first place and why it was not plowed under is that it was land that really wasn't suitable for growing crops. And that's why, for example, it's a cattle pasture today, that it's a good place for cattle to graze and you don't need to plow it because, well, why would you if you're going to get cattle to graze it? And that's why then, since you never did plow it afterwards, you can still see that oval when you fly your drone overhead.
Ah, that explains it. All right, from stock cars to what? What's coming up next week?
Well, next week, I'm going to talk about something that if you took a boat down the Red River as far as the Chief Peguis Trail Bridge, you would see a massive, an absolutely enormous steel and concrete structure in the middle of the river. And it runs parallel with the riverbank. And next week, I'll explain what it is.
Ooh, very interesting. It's been great talking to you, Gordon. Thanks.
You're welcome, Lori.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.